Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
John Feinstein has been called one of the best sports writers in America. He began his career at the Washington Post, where he worked as both a political and sports reporter. He's also written for Sports Illustrated, National Sports Daily, Golf Digest, was an NPR contributor, and he currently hosts his own radio show, The John Feinstein Show, on CBS Sports Radio. He's also a best-selling author for adults and for young adults. He has a new series out called The Walk-On. It's book one in the Triple Threat series. He joins us to talk about the book and headlines in the sports world, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Feinstein back to the roundtable. Thanks very much for being with us.
Joe, it's good to talk to you again.
So what brought you to this series and to look at this particular world of high school athletics?
You know, when I was a kid, Joe, I read a series of books about a three-sport athlete named Chip Hilton, who played football, played basketball, played baseball. And when I was young, that's what we all did. Played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring. Nowadays, as you know, if a kid is identified as having any talent by the time he's 8, 9, or 10, he's a one-sport athlete. He goes to an academy somewhere. He goes to summer camps in his sport. He plays it, or she plays it, 12 months a year. Nobody plays sports anymore. They work at sports. It becomes almost a job before they're even out of middle school. And I wanted to write a book about, or a trilogy, as you said, but this is the first book in that trilogy, about a kid who is still a three-sport athlete, who has talent, who likes to play the games, who enjoys the games, but doesn't want his whole life to be wrapped up in one game. So that's really where the concept came. And obviously, as you know, because we've talked about my previous children's books, my first goal in writing these is to engage the reader and to write an entertaining story and to write a story that's believable, that could possibly happen, even though it's clearly fiction. So I set out to do that and also wanted to work in the fact that, unfortunately, in today's world, steroids is a part of high school sports, particularly football. I've talked to a number of doctors about this. There have been studies done on steroid use among high school athletes, even middle school athletes, particularly football players, Joe. So I wanted to try and throw in a couple of lessons without ever being preachy. I hope these books aren't preachy. I hope they're fun and easy to read. But I wanted to sneak that in there around trying to tell an entertaining story for kids.
So Alex Myers is a quarterback, a point guard, and a pitcher. This particular book has to do with the football season. And what's interesting about the story is here's a kid who is number one in his hometown. He dominates. He's incredible. And then he moves, and then he has to work his way up again.
Right, right. He's the last string quarterback when the season begins. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the star quarterback, who's a very good player too, is a junior as opposed to Alex being a freshman, happens to be the coach's son. And he becomes very friends with the coach's son, who's the starting quarterback, but the Matt Gordon, who is the coach's son, recognizes right away that Alex is actually better than he is. And that sort of leads to the plot twist that we get into later in the book. And Alex is adapting to a new school, a new city, a new team. He's a 14-year-old going through his first serious crush on a girl. So there are all those teenage issues woven through the story.
And what do you think it's like for a kid like that? And you certainly have interviewed many, many athletes of what it's like to be a kid like that at 14 to know and to have everyone tell you that you're really good.
And that's a very good question because ego comes into play, and you've got to hopefully have people who are there to temper that. And Alex is trying to deal with the notion that, as you said, everyone says, wow, you're really good. But on the other hand, he's being told, you're really good, but you're not going to play. And that probably helps with his ego. In book two and in book three, because I've already outlined them in my mind, that ego question comes into play because he is a star athlete. The good news is, again, because he's playing three different sports, he has to adapt from season to season to different coaches and different teammates. And I think that keeps your ego from getting out of control as opposed to having a parent say, we're sending you to an academy and we're going to spend a lot of money to make you a star golfer, a star tennis player, whatever it might be. And you better be really good or you're going to let us down, which a lot of kids deal with in today's world.
Do you think what is happening in the world of football, especially for student athletes, as you just mentioned, steroids, just one issue. There's also the concussion issue. And then we have the overall cloud over the NFL at the moment.
Right.
Does that hurt high school sports at a very fundamental level?
You know what? It should. And here's what concerns me about it all, Joe. With all the warnings that we have, as you mentioned, about concussions, about steroids, about players being paid under the table when they're being recruited or when they move on to college, even on the high school level now, they all just want to play. And one of the studies I saw a couple of years ago that kind of led to this book was that a group of high school players, football players, was asked, if you were told that you'd play in the NFL for 10 years if you took steroids, but your life would be shortened by 10 years by taking those steroids, would you take them? 70% said yes. And that tells you how important football has become in our society. Even with all the flags we've got out there, warning flags, it is still an obsession here in our country. You look at the NFL ratings, with all that's going on, the TV ratings never go down. If anything, they go up. And that to me is an issue. And you wonder where the tipping point comes, when they jump the shark. They haven't yet, though, at least in terms of popularity.
Do you think that the NFL is in trouble? Do you think that Roger Goodell is in trouble?
I think Roger Goodell is in trouble. I think that with the Ray Rice situation, he mishandled it from stem to stern. I think a lot of people are questioning not only his judgment, but his integrity. Was this a real investigation? If they didn't, in fact, as they claim, see the tape that was released on September the 8th, why not? Why didn't they get their hands on that tape with all the security people they employ and all the influence that they have? Or with just simply saying to Ray Rice and his lawyer, who were legally entitled to the tape, we want to see the tape before we make a final decision. It almost smacks of don't ask, don't tell in terms of the investigation by both Roger Goodell and the Ravens. So my answer is yes, I think Roger Goodell is in some serious trouble right now. He may or may not survive it. The NFL, though, will survive because I promise you that when the Ravens play the Steelers on Thursday night, there's going to be 70,000 people in that stadium.
Right. There's going to be 70,000 people in that stadium who, again, and this goes back to the high school athletics, who, as you say, the kids just want to play. The fans just want to watch the game.
Right.
But it's who we're cheering for and what they've done off the field that is so concerning.
Well, and you're right. You're 100% right about that, Joe. And again, I get into that a little bit in the walk-on in terms of good guys and bad guys and how important football is even at the high school level. For everybody. But if Ray Rice, if this video had not come out, when Ray Rice ran onto the field after his two-game suspension was over, he'd have been cheered. Barry Bonds was cheered in San Francisco. Everybody knew he was taking steroids, but he was hitting home runs.
Right.
Roger Clemens was cheered in Yankee Stadium. Everyone knew he was taking steroids, but he was still getting batters out. Fans want to see their heroes perform. And if they cheat, it's okay as long as they don't get caught. Once they get caught, then it becomes an issue. Ray Rice, unfortunately for Ray Rice, but not unfortunately for the world at large, was caught on video doing what he did. That's why he doesn't have a job today. But there are a lot of Ravens fans who would still support Ray Rice because he was a star player on a Super Bowl winning team.
And you get into one of these things, especially in this case, where there is what is legal. So there were charges that were filed against both him and his then fiance, now wife.
Right.
And her charges were dropped. His charges stand. They're minor charges. And so even if he is allowed at some point to return to the game, then it's sort of a no-brainer that somebody's going to pick him up quick, right?
Well, that's a good question because there is an image issue here. And the other thing that's an issue is Ray Rice didn't have a great year last year. He's only 27 years old, but running backs get beaten up pretty quickly in the NFL. So do you pick up someone who, in an image way, is very much damaged goods, not knowing necessarily what you're getting in terms of performance on the field? If he was a 27-year-old Tom Brady or a 27-year-old Peyton Manning, and this happened, you're absolutely right. He'd be picked up in an instant. But because there is some question about his playing ability, he might not be picked up in an instant. But you make a very important point. what in the world was the prosecutor thinking when he looked at that videotape
right.
and decided to allow Ray Rice to enter a pretrial prevention program and never prosecuted him?
And again, not look for any more evidence or any more tape as to what happened when they got in the elevator.
Tape, right? He had to have seen that tape. I mean, any of us who watch police shows on TV,
right.
you know, the first thing the cops do is they say, is there any videotape around? Let's look at it.
Well, a lot of questions abound. The book is fantastic. It's really a lot of fun. I love reading your work. It's The Walk-On, May the Best Quarterback Win. It is book one in the Triple Threat series. It's published by Knopf. John Feinstein, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, thanks for having me again.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.